I'm grateful for the privilege of being here with you this morning and must apologize that I will not be able to be here next Sunday. So happens that we're going to be moving this summer, and the only time that we can go house hunting happens to be next weekend, so I will not be able to be with you as the bulletin had indicated. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 131. I would venture to guess that it's been a while since you heard a message on this psalm. This is a part of that collection of psalms known as the Songs of Ascent. There have been many suggestions as to just exactly what that means. Some have suggested that these are songs that the pilgrims sang as they went up to Jerusalem, but not all of them quite seem to fit that. Others have suggested that it is the songs which the heart sings as it rises up to God, and I find that very satisfying. Psalm 131. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope, or wait, for the Lord, both now and forevermore. Let's pray together. Thank you for the Scriptures, O Lord. Thank you that you have given them to us as a light to our feet as we walk the pilgrim road. Help us, Lord, now, by the power of your Spirit, as we think about these truths. Apply them to our hearts, Lord, that we may live in them. In your name, amen. Have you noticed how they've been changing the calendar recently? When I was 5 years old, December was about 400 days long. This last December seems to have been about 3 days long. Well, they haven't really, have they? But it seems that way. Why? Waiting. Waiting makes time go so slowly. Every one of us can look back not only to our childhood, but at some more recent days when we were waiting. Waiting for that exam grade when the professor seemed never to get the grades back. Waiting for that special call. Waiting for the baby. 9 months or 9 years? Waiting to die. There are some elderly people today who are ready to go to heaven. And they're saying, God, how long? All of our lives seem to be filled with waiting. And that's what I want to talk with you about this morning. Because one of the more prominent words in the Old Testament, or I should say word pairs, has to do with waiting. One of our favorite scripture passages from the 40th chapter of Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, that sounds wonderful. What's it mean? They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Jesus said to his disciples, men, there's a world to win, but wait. Abraham, Sarah, you old folks are going to have a baby, but wait. Wait. Why? And this psalm talks about waiting. Why does God ask you and me to wait? And the answer is given to us in that first verse. Because of human pride. If you go back to Genesis 3, you can see immediately what the basic human problem is. I will be God. I will decide what I need, I will decide when I need it, and I will decide how I get it. I will be God. And throughout all of human history, that has been the problem. When John, in his letter, talks about human sin, he talks about the lust of the flesh, that's sin at its simplest, the lust of the eyes, that's a little more sophisticated. But when you really get at it, the pride of life. What is it that damns us but our pride? And that's why there will be good people in hell. The issue isn't goodness. The issue is pride. I don't need God. I don't need your church. I'm better than most church people I know anyhow. If I'm not good enough for heaven, who is? Pride. And it is our pride that is hurt when God calls upon us to wait. Our pride. Because that means I'm dependent. Why is it that most of us want money? Now, of course, there are a few Silas Marners among us who enjoy just the feel of the coins and the crinkle of the bills. But for most of us, we want money because it means independence. I don't have to do what my mom and dad say. I don't have to be dependent upon somebody else. When I'm old, I won't have to be dependent upon my children. Independence. Let me be free. But when I wait, I admit I'm not in charge. When I wait, I admit I don't know best. When I wait, I admit that I am a dependent being, eternally so. One of the great tragedies of American life is that we have become so comfortable in this life that we no longer really look with longing to heaven. For most of us, heaven is a thought that is far from our daily consciousness. And yet God says to us, you are an eternal being. You are a being who goes on forever. And your eternal destiny is in my hand. Wait for me. So the psalmist says, O God, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I don't concern myself with matters that are too great for me. But oh, that's tough for us human beings. We want to make our own decisions. We want to decide where, when, and how our needs are going to be met. And the thought of committing our needs to someone we can't control is disgusting. And so God says to us again and again, wait. Because you see, there is no faith apart from waiting. If I can have what I want instantly, then faith doesn't enter in. But faith always says, I reach out for what is ahead, and I wait believing. Well, how do we wait anyway? And we come to that strange second verse. We wait like a weaned child. What in the world is he talking about? In the ancient Near East, and even in the modern Near East, children often are not weaned until they're 2 or 3 years old. The child is at his or her mother's breast,
constantly.
Well, what does that mean? It means they can have instant gratification. Any moment of the day or night, if I'm hungry, it's there. The imperious desires of that child are king. And it is interesting that the mothers who are nursing basically do not thwart the child. If the child wants the breast, the child's desire is king. And so what you see are those little children who, in a real sense, are tyrants. It's my world, and I can have what I want when I want it. But the weaned child has been taught to wait. No, you cannot eat now. You will wait. And in many ways, that lesson is the great lesson of the child's life. Oh, you mean my desire for clothing is not king, right? Oh, you mean my desire for good feelings are not king, right? Oh, my desire for sex is not king, right? My desire for power is not king, right? That moment at age 2 or 3, when that child comes to realize, I have to wait, is a critical moment in the child's whole development. That child has learned patience. That child has learned that it is not the ruler of all those around it. That child has learned how to control their own desires. And that child has learned the joys of anticipation. Waiting is not all tough it out. Waiting, oftentimes, is the most pleasant part of the whole process. Now, the lessons are the same for you and me as we look at what God says to us. Wait, child. But God, I need it now. Do you really? But God, I know what I need better than you do. Oh, really? What is it that you and I really need? Who is the master and who is the servant in our relationship with God? God, I have these needs and you are my servant to meet them. Now get with it. And God says, wait. Why? Because he is not my servant. He is my master. And the most significant thing that you and I can learn in all of our lives is that truth. But more than that, who is the master and who is the servant in my life? Are my desires the master, or am I the master? Instant gratification means that my desires rule me. If I want it, I have to have it, and I'm ruled by it. I have never forgotten, a number of years ago, one of our faculty wives was a psychologist at a narcotics hospital. And she did a study of those patients, inmates, and part of her control group were some seminary professors. We were all hoping there would be some differences in her results. And there were. One of her questions was, If I had $500 in my hand and offered you that now, or 5,000 in 6 months, which would you take? All of the inmates in the narcotics hospital, with the exception of two or three, chose the 500 now. 90% of the seminary professors chose the 5,000. Now, that showed several things. It showed we were poorer than they were. But at heart, it said, I am ruled by a need for instant gratification, and my present desires are my master. How do we wait like a weaned child? The weaned child that has come to know that mother really is good, and mother will even injure herself to feed me at the right time, if necessary. Wait like a weaned child who says, I have learned that there are some more important things in life than having what I think I need right now. But wait for whom? Why do we wait? Because of our pride. How do we wait? Like a weaned child. But for whom do we wait? O Israel, wait for the Lord. What do I wait for? Oh, I wait for gratification. I wait for the supply of my needs. I wait for what I want. No, I wait for the Lord. What do you really need today? What do I really need today? Oh, I need money, I need a job, I need a house, I need... No. You need the Lord. I need the Lord. That was the lesson of Genesis 22. Abraham, you need land. Yes, Lord, I do. You need a child. Yes, I do. You need a name that will live on after you. Yes, Lord, I do. Would you let me give you those? Yes, thank you. Abraham, may I have the child? What had Abraham been waiting for all those years? Had he been waiting for Isaac? If so, then in that moment he would say, No, God, that's my kid, you promised, and that's that. No. The scripture says, God said to him, Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. And the next verse says, So Abraham arose early in the morning and went. I don't know what went on in Abraham's heart that night, but whatever it was, it's too private and personal for prying eyes like yours and mine. But the key is not what went on that night. The key is what happened in the morning. And in the morning, here, Lord, why? He was waiting for the Lord and not for the Lord's gifts. The greatest thing that you and I can learn is that what we really need is the Lord. In His timing, in His way, in His providence, in His blessing, or in the absence of His blessing, it is the Lord for whom we wait. If you have your Bible open there, you notice, and if you have the NIV, you notice that the NIV translates it, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. And that's not a bad translation. What are you and I waiting for? What are you and I hoping for? Is it the Lord? Do we want His gifts, or do we want the giver? Can we say in honesty, Lord, take it all, but give me yourself? Take my hopes, my dreams, my desires, my loves, take them all, but give me yourself. Or are we in this for what we can get out of it? And when we've gotten what we want, could we get along perfectly well without the Lord? I suppose it's a sign of my advancing age that I am becoming an old curmudgeon. But as I look at American evangelicalism, I wonder if the Lord said to us, give me Isaac. I wonder if we would not say, huh? Wait a minute, the only reason I got in this thing was for my Isaacs. Or do we wait for the Lord? My hope is in the Lord, the songwriter says. We wait eagerly for the day of His appearance. Wait, wait. Subject your desires, subject your priorities, subject your hopes to me. Otherwise your pride will destroy you. Learn to wait like the weaned child who has learned that his desires are not king. Wait, wait, I say, for the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, again and again we find our strength faint and small because we've learned to wait for everything else except you. We've fixed our eyes on everything else except what you want. Have mercy upon us. We have become sated with our possessions. And when you cry up to the battle, we find ourselves unable to rise because we're too fat and comfortable. Have mercy upon us. How we thank you, Lord, for all of the evidence in Scripture that you are worth waiting for. Thank you that at long last you gave the child. Thank you that at long last you came as Messiah and Savior. Thank you that you came in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And thank you for the confidence that some morning or noon or night you will break through the skies. And if we should die before that day comes, thank you for the confidence that He for whom we have waited will greet us at the doors of heaven. Teach us, O Lord, to wait for you. In your name we pray. Amen. Go in the peace of God.
and in the confidence that He is the supplier of all we need.